The Bible reading today is taken from Acts chapter 20, verses 17 to 38, and can be found in the Pew Bible, page 929. Now from Miletus he sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church to come to him. And when they came to him, he said to them, "You yourselves know how I lived among you the whole time from the first day that I set foot in Asia, serving the Lord with all humility and with tears and with trials that happened to me through the plots of the Jews, how I did not shrink from declaring to you anything that was profitable and teaching you in public from house to house, testifying both to Jews and to Greeks of repentance towards God and the faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. And now, behold, I am going to Jerusalem, constrained by the Spirit, not knowing what will happen to me there, except that the Holy Spirit testifies to me in every city that imprisonment and affliction awaits me. But I do not account my life of any value, nor as precious to myself, if only I may finish my course and the ministry that I have received from the Lord Jesus, to testify to the gospel of the grace of God. And now, behold, I know that none of you among whom I have gone about proclaiming the kingdom will see my face again. Therefore, I testify to you this day that I am innocent of the blood of all of you, for I did not shrink from declaring to you the whole counsel of God. Pay attention to yourselves and to all the flock, of which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to care for the church of God, which he obtained with his own blood. I know that after my departure, fierce wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock, and from among your own selves will arise men speaking twisted things, to draw away the disciples after them. Therefore be alert, remembering that for 3 years I did not cease, night or day, to admonish everyone with tears. And now I commend to you God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and give you the inheritance among all those who are sanctified. I coveted no one's silver or gold or apparel. You yourselves know that these hands ministered to my necessities and to those who were with me. In all things I have shown you that by working hard in this way we must help the weak and remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he himself said, 'It is more blessed to give than to receive.'" And when he had said these things, he knelt down and prayed with them all. And there was much weeping on the part of all. They embraced Paul and kissed him, being sorrowful, most of all, because of the word he had spoken, that they would not see his face again. And they accompanied him to the ship. This is the word of the Lord.
Good morning, everyone. I'm going to invite up Bishop David, who's come to speak to us this morning. We're so glad to have him here with us, and Hilary as well. I'm just going to pray for you, Bishop, before you come to speak. Father, we thank you for this man after your own heart. Lord, we praise you for who this man is. We thank you for his leadership in our church and his service to the church. And Lord, as he comes to speak to us this morning, we pray a fresh and filling of your Holy Spirit. We pray, come, Holy Spirit. And Lord, may we be ready and willing to receive and to do what it is that you are asking us to do. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Stuart. Friends, I'm absolutely thrilled to be here this morning. It's always a joy to be here in Dollingstown and in Marilyn, and it's a joy to be here this morning for this. What is a really significant marker for you as a church and for this whole parish? Just before beginning, I'm going to sort of divide what I'm going to say into two little bits, a little bit of background at the very beginning. Just by way of explanation, I'm going to refer quite a bit to Stuart here this morning. and then down in Mura, then quite a bit to Emma. So don't think that I'm forgetting about Emma here this morning in Donoghue, or that later on I'm forgetting about Stuart down in Mura, any of you that are going to attend both services. It'll be the same sermon in both places as well, only, well, a sermon that I preach is never quite the same in any two places, but it's going to intend to be the same. Let's just pray again together as we turn to God's word in a few moments. Lord, I pray that every word spoken this morning, Lord, would find a deep place in all of our hearts, every word that's from you, and that anything else, Lord, might fall to the ground and die. In Jesus' name. Amen. A little bit of background. It was earlier this year, and I was on a flight home from Santiago in Chile, one of our linked dioceses. I'd been there for the consecration of the new bishop of this diocese. I was flying home. It was the middle of the night. Everybody around me was sound asleep, most of them snoring loudly. And in that moment, I really sensed, in a way that I don't often, the presence of God. And God just began to speak into my heart and download something. I grabbed a bit of paper and a pen, and I jotted it down, what I sensed God was saying to me. I've shared it with the clergy in the diocese earlier in the year, but it does provide a little bit of background to this morning. It was all around one word, the word radical. What God's calling his church to be in these days, to have a radical reaching of the lost, because hell is a reality. A radical teaching of the laity to live lives that change our communities, because healthy church is a goal that is attainable. A radical preaching of the gospel to raise the bar in a manner where we return to being truly biblical. A radical intentional coaching of young leaders ordained and lay to make God's church strong. A radical fighting spirit of prayer, empowering God's church for the season ahead, where we fight for orthodoxy with the weapons of the gospel. A radical giving of our resources to ensure no church lacks the resources it needs for growth. A radical heeding to the voice of God that leads to a quick obedience in all our lives. Radical judging of our own hearts that leads to holiness, such that we are as clean as a saved sinner can be. A radical knowing of the power of Christ that leads to us living in the shadow of the Almighty. A radical love for God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, such that our hearts are on fire and we're unafraid to be those that burn with passion for the things of his kingdom. A radical obedience to God's word that gets the world's attention and leads to revival. A radical questioning and discontent with the current status quo that leads to a new pursuit of Christ. A radical resistance to temptation that leads to a season of repentance such as we haven't seen in our lifetimes. A radical victorious people full of the joy of the Lord Jesus. A radical worshipping diocesan family of churches that fulfill all to which God has called them. There's a lot in there, isn't there? And I've been preaching my way through each of those in recent weeks. Having shared them with clergy, we're trying to live some of that out in a number of different ways into which you fit into the picture. Working, for example, on a one-to-one basis, the diocese with 12 new church plants. Working with 25 churches that would be smaller churches that were on a trajectory of decline to enable them to turn that corner and begin to grow, and we're seeing that begin to happen. And here's where you fit in, working with 8 larger parishes so that they double their attendance over a 5-year period, become resource churches that can bless the wider church in a way that new leaders are raised up, and in a way that the church grows to a new church family of 800 people across the two sites here for you in Dollingstown and Marilyn. But there's seven other churches that we're giving that same challenge to, that we're working in the same way with. So don't think that you're being sort of singled out in some way or given priority in some way. I want to home in on that one of those radicals this morning that fits in, I think, really specifically to today. A radical giving of our resources to ensure that no church lacks the resources that it needs for growth to fulfill the Great Commission. Friends, the reality is this. The harvest is always urgent. But there are particular seasons where the church needs in a particular way to rise up afresh to meet the urgency of the hour. On the one hand, the church in the West has been living through a season of decline, where the church has been increasingly impacted by the secular and liberal agenda of society around us and has been threatened by that. But on the other hand, a shift has begun in society in more recent days that indicates that there is a move of God and that God is up to something and that God is building his church. For example, the Independent newspaper recently reported Zen Z is flocking to church. And imagine this front page of, above all newspapers, the Financial Times. Gen Z are turning to faith. Now, for anyone that isn't familiar with who Gen Z is, it's the 18 to 24-year-olds. And there's some of them among us here this morning. In 2018, just before the pandemic, 4% of that age group, a survey carried out by the Bible Society showed, were attending church. Just 4% of 18 to 24-year-olds in these islands. Similar survey in the year 2024 indicated that that figure had risen from 4% to 16%, and in the case of young men, it was actually 24%. The fields are white for harvest. The church and every church under God is called, yes, to return and to embrace what it means to be truly biblical and radical in the giving of our time, our finances, our money, our energy, our passion, our prayer lives, our hearts, our souls, our minds, our bodies, ourselves. Friends, to what's going to last forever? It's time for the church to embrace, if we've stopped embracing it in any measure whatsoever, the Great Commission, to receive the power of the Holy Spirit and to be God's witnesses wherever he sends us, our Jerusalem, our Judea, our Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. I'm going to move to focusing in on Paul's charge to the church leadership and members in Ephesus, a passage that was read a few moments ago. You know, I could preach for literally days on this, so it's only going to be able to provide a little sort of a backcloth, as it were, to all that I want to say. This passage that was read to us is a passage that's all about the church being faithful. It's all about the church being faithful, and in being faithful, being radical. It's all about the church being all out, sold out for God. Sold out on extending God's kingdom and working for the growth of God's church. Sold out on pursuing the purposes of God for the lives of the hundreds, friends, and the thousands that will come into your church during the Angel Festival, but that actually you need to be bringing into your church. I don't mean the visitors from other places. I mean your neighbors, your parishioners, the ones that are lost in those streets and housing developments around Dollingstown and around Marilyn, the ones that are moving in and will be moving in to new houses that will be built, the ones that have moved in over recent years and might or might not know that the church is here. The ones that actually nobody has yet reached with the gospel, and the ones that are lost without Christ. Sold out friends to leading people to the foot of the cross, where they encounter the love of God and the presence of Jesus, where they're led to repent of sin and be cleansed and washed and put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Sold out as a church to ensuring that this wonderful gospel is explained to every individual and to groups that are brought together of young and old and men and women, so that people are rescued, quite literally rescued, and saved by Christ forever. The backcloth to that we read here in verses 17 to 21. Now, from Miletus he sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church to come to him. And they came. And when they came to him, he said to them, "You yourselves know how I lived among you the whole time from the first day that I set foot in Asia, serving the Lord with all humility." That's God's call on every one of us in church this morning. That's God's call on you, Stuart, this morning. With all humility and with tears and with trials that happened to me through the plots of the Jews, how I did not shrink from declaring to you anything that was profitable and teaching you in public and from house to house, testifying both to Jews and to Greeks of repentance towards God and faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. Stuart, that's God's commission to you. Among the people, it says here, serving the Lord with humility, serving the Lord with tears. Let me ask you and myself, and Simon, and you as a congregation individually, friends, when last did you weep over the lostness of the lost? No hesitancy, no holding back. Paul wasn't taught how to work a 37.5-hour week in a theological institute. Nor did he shrink back from making disciples of others when the task before him was the task of reaching the lost. Teaching in public and from house to house, both to Jews and Greeks, not just the cosy house calls where there's always the welcome cup of coffee or tea, but the ones that don't know Christ, the ones that are not sure they want to know Christ, but when they're introduced to him, will almost always inevitably fall in love with him. They just need introduced to him. The ones that need to be brought to a place where they learn and are explained how they can put their faith in Jesus. Here's the thing. Not all over to him or her, but to all of us this morning. Because the most significant thing that Stuart will do here and that Emma will do in Marilyn is that they'll gather teams. Now, I woke up in the night thinking about this, actually, and so here's something that you didn't hear me say before. There's a passage in the Bible that talks about God raising up, or Jesus sending out 70 or 72, depending on the version you read. It ought to be 72 from Darlingstown and 72 from Marilyn, hitting every door regularly with the gospel of Jesus Christ. So the 72 from Darlingstown are sitting here this morning. And if there's more than 72, just raise a hallelujah. But also a team to lead Alpha. Where churches are growing, Alpha's at the core, friends. It's the thing God's using in today's world, but not just an occasional alpha. Alpha that's consistently happening twice, three times a year. And the sort of effort that's going into the Angel Festival, which is just wonderful and will connect with so many, needs to be the same effort that will be happening here and in Marilyn in the month of January to connect and reconnect and connect afresh with people beyond these walls. But it's a heart thing. It really is a heart thing. The whole thing. It's a heart thing. So what's it all about? What's it really all about? Are you, am I, like President Trump, we'll make America great again, we'll make Darlingstown great, we'll make Marilyn great, we'll make Darlingstown and Marilyn great? Not, it's not about any of that. Can't be about any of that. Jesus doesn't need us to make him great. But friends, he does need us to obey him. He does require us. He does require every bishop, every ordained cleric, every select vestry member, every follower of Jesus Christ to make the main thing and keep the main thing the main thing. And the main thing is that we lift up the person of Jesus in such a way that men and women are drawn to him from every townland, from every little hamlet, from every housing development in this parish, and maybe some beyond it as well. Because Jesus says, if I be lifted up, I will draw all people to myself. Listen to how Paul put it here in Acts 20, testifying both to Jews and to Greeks of repentance towards God and faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. And now behold, I'm going to Jerusalem, constrained by the Spirit, not knowing what will happen to me there, except that the Holy Spirit testifies to me in every city that imprisoned and affliction awaits me, hopefully not stirred. But I do not account my life of any value, nor is precious to myself, if only I may finish my course and the ministry that I received from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of the grace of God. And now, behold, I know that none of you among whom I have gone about proclaiming the kingdom will see my face again. Therefore, I testify to you this day that I am innocent of the blood of all, for I did not shrink from declaring to you the whole counsel of God. It's his church, just as was for Paul in his day, his church. Not your church, Stuart. Not yours either, Simon. Nor is it the bishop's. It's his. Testifying both to Jews and Greeks of repentance towards God, faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. And behold, I'm going to Jerusalem, constrained by the Spirit, not knowing what will happen to me there. There's a big element of the unknown and what lies ahead. The calling on every bishop, clergy person, lay person today is that we would die to ourselves and live for Christ. Except that the Holy Spirit testifies to me that in every city imprisonment and affliction awaits me, but I do not account my life of any value, nor is precious to myself. We fix our eyes on Jesus. We fix our eyes on the finishing line. Friends, I've been around Darlingstown before. I was just 28 when I came here as curate. I'm now 66. No matter how you look at it, like many of you around the building as well, I have more years behind me, no matter how you do the maths, than I have years ahead, except when you step, as that song reminded us this morning, into serving him in eternity as well. It's 48 years ago that I actually gave my life to Jesus. And my salvation is secure, totally secure, but one day I will stand before him and I want to hear that, well done, good and faithful servant. Those three words, Stuart. good, faithful servant. Not how you begin, that really matters. It's how you and I finish. Paul said, if only I may finish my course and the ministry that I have received from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of the grace of God. The older I become, the more concerned I become about finishing well. That might sound a strange thing to say. That we finish strong. And now behold, I know that none of you among whom I have gone about proclaiming the kingdom will see my face again. Paul writes. In other words, use every day as if it might be your last. Use every day well. Because without Christ, the people you encounter today might not get the opportunity to encounter him tomorrow. Live in the light of eternity. Do mission and ministry, church, in the light of eternity. As Paul was able to say, I am innocent of the blood of all, for I did not shrink from declaring to you the whole counsel of God. We check our hearts regularly. This is serious business, friend. This is eternal stuff. This is not about growing a church for the sake of growing a church, so that we've got a church that's bigger than another church down the road. Not about any of that. It's about a lost, broken world that needs Jesus. It's about a wonderful gospel that's been placed into your hands and mine, and that is our responsibility to make known. Pay careful attention to yourselves and to all the flock in which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. It's about him every time. Not about Marilyn or Dollingstein or anywhere else being our God, or anyone else or anything else being our God. But it's about Jesus Christ being Lord. And Paul then drops in this one, check your doctrine. He says, I know that after my departure, fierce wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. And from among your own selves will arise men speaking twisted things to draw away the disciples after them. Therefore, be alert, remembering that for 3 years I did not cease night or day, to admonish you with tears. And now I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified. Be a church, be a leader who doesn't take for granted that you're always on the right track. Check the track you're on against the word of God. Be subject to Simon, who's entrusted with the responsibility of leading this place, a weighty responsibility. Be subject above all to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. And humbly, humbly serve him ferociously and energetically and passionately. And get not just the 72, but the other teams around you. And guys, get on board. This is a moment of opportunity. It might not come your way again, because Jesus might well return. Get on board. Use every gift, and there's lots of gifts sitting in these pews this morning, to reach every home, so that in every home there would be an open Bible that's been read and obeyed. Every heart reached with the gospel of Jesus. Every home visited by teams. I said to these guys the other day, at least twice, really I should have said three times every year. And where it's, and I keep saying this, where it's all about him and where it's all privilege. You yourselves know that these hands minister to my necessities and to those who were with me. Here's a little thing. It's actually a big thing. When I went to Willowfield as rector, I said this, and it annoyed a whole lot of people for a week or two, maybe longer than a week or two. I said to them, you know, it's not about you, actually. You've been coming here a long time, some of you. So none of this is really about you. It's about the ones out there. It's about the ones beyond our walls. And if you've been coming here a long time and you don't already know Christ, do you not think it's about time you did? And that you would this morning choose to give your life to Christ and be fully on board, know his saving, loving, keeping grace and mercy, trust him, choose to love him, give your life to him. You haven't entered into that relationship with him and you've been coming here for a while. It's about time you did. It really is. And if you're already there and already a Christian, I hate to tell you again that none of this is about you. It's primarily about them and about reaching a lost and broken world. Because these closing verses of Paul really are the ones, or not Paul, that we read in Acts, are really the ones that where we learn what it is to actually move from what might be termed a quiet revival to real revival, where there's weeping, where there's praying, where there's seeking, where there's loving, where there's caring. And when he had said these things, he knelt down and prayed with them all. And there was much weeping on the part of all. They embraced Paul and kissed him, being sorrowful most of all because of the word he had spoken, that they would not see his face again. And they accompanied him to the ship. Friends, I simply, in a moment, I'm going to pray that I haven't very eloquently said anything this morning, but I hope that the Spirit of God will touch our hearts in such a way that we grasp the moment, that we go after the lost, that we give our best, we give our all, actually, to serving Christ. There's nothing, nothing, nothing else compares or really matters when compared to loving and owning and trusting him. One of my heroes is a person that was around a long, long time ago. He actually wrote the song, There is a Redeemer. And he wrote loads of other songs as well. A guy called Keith Green. And he wrote this little prayer or this little chorus of a hymn that he wrote. And it says this, and with these words I finish. Make my life a prayer to you. I want to do what you want me to do. No empty words, no white lies, no token prayers, no compromise. May that ring through, Steward, in you and in me. And may it ring through in this place in a fresh way. Make our lives a prayer to you. We want to do what you want us to do. No empty words. No white lies. No token prayers. No compromise. Will you please stand with me? Lord God Almighty, you've entrusted to all of us that know and love you this wonderful gospel, this saving gospel that has saved us, Lord, and kept us, and will keep us to the end, and then, Lord, will keep us in eternity. But Lord, I want to pray this morning that you'd pour out your Spirit afresh in this place. That this gospel, your gospel, would be at the very core of who every single one of us are as followers of Jesus Christ. So come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Anoint this congregation afresh. To reach its community with the good news of Christ. That we would love the gospel, that we would love the Lord Jesus, be empowered by his Spirit to make his beauty and glory known. Equip this place, Lord, to meet this hour. In Jesus' name. And just as you remain standing with your eyes closed, just in case there's anyone this morning who's been coming here a long time, or maybe you've walked in and this is one of your first or among your first times here, and you want to give your life to Jesus, and you want to join this army of people that are going to reach others, here's the prayer that you can pray to begin to follow Christ. Lord Jesus Christ, I believe this morning that you loved me and gave your Son Jesus to die for me. I admit and repent of being a sinful person, of living my life without you, Jesus. I believe this morning you died for me and rose again. I now invite you to live in my life, to wash me clean, to fill me with your Holy Spirit, for from this hour onwards, with your help, I will follow you as a real Christian. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Now, if you prayed that prayer, I simply want you to go to Steward at the end and tell him that you've prayed that prayer this morning, please. Perhaps the prayer ministry team would come forward. Maybe this morning that there's some in church and you know that there's stuff that you need to lay down in order to be able to take up this fresh calling that's now placed upon this church. That's you. Someone in the team would love to pray for you and with you. Maybe that you're feeling or recognizing God's call to, in a very particular way, to come alongside Steward this morning. I'm not just talking about being a sort of a volunteer in one of his teams, but actually to commit yourself to pray for him every day, every day. And to be there just to really hold up his two arms, as it were, daily. If that's you, then would you come forward as well, and these folks will pray with you as you make that very serious commitment this morning. And this gospel, friends, is about God setting us all free from all sorts of stuff and moving us forward. So whatever your need is this morning, I want to say, come and do business with God and be transformed by him into his likeness. So continue, Lord God, to move among us by the power of your Spirit and for the honor and glory of your name.
Amen.